Hi, guys. Thanks for coming. I'm Don McIver. I'm not hypnotized by the psalm singing praises to America, the beautiful and obese. America, the brave and pro-war mouthpiece. In the 90s, America elected a draft dodger, a Vietnam protester, a Rhodes Scholar who raised and squalored and how to serve the dollar. Welfare and compassion for the world's oppressed? No, they need to know that we've been blessed. Welfare and compassion for the people who don't know any better? No, we need to watch TV. If we're not happy, we can write a letter to our congressman and watch the evening propaganda in our Nike sweatshop sweater. Oh, I get it now. All those things we did. Civil rights, women's movement, gay pride, Woodstock, we want to disavow. They were youthful indiscretions. The hypnotizing influence of Malcolm X, Martin Luther, Cesar Chavez. The real learning session came at the 1968 Democratic Convention. Kent State, Seattle, New York City. The televised images of Jess dropping napalm. Buddhist monks in flame remaining calm and police feeding us without a qualm. And even after LBJ didn't seek re-election and Tricky Dick's resignation, we changed our minds. Now we just want some sleep. A lot of food for our kids to eat. A lot of fun on a Saturday afternoon without tear gas being shot from a guardsman's jeep. Some horseback riding creep. It's enough to make me weep. So I assume we want to kill the system still, and we'll let it eat itself to death, choke on its last breath as our climate gets a little hotter and the whole inner ozone sets us up for slaughter as we pile in our SUVs and march down the streets of steel and concrete. This globe is ours to spoil. Oh yes, there's not enough oil, water, fresh air. We created this turmoil, so let's at least act as if we care. We can't stop the slow erosion of civil liberty, so we give them a right to privacy and an email and a cell phone and say, eat, drink, gorge yourself on this. Go ahead, Junior. Ashcroft, Dick, do what you want. I won't resist. You can have this flow of information. Give us a fascist nation with mindless sports, patriotic propaganda, and fluff. All I really want is a lot of cooler stuff. Did someone make us drink until we puked? Do we watch our friends escape in suicide injection, watch your enemy stage a phony election in a democracy that got squashed on the road to money, capital, greed? It's not as if I'm going to plead or ask us to reconsider, but as our own clock ticks down, we may not have the strength to watch them eat themselves to death. And we may not be able to see it through, but do we have the strength to fight? Oh, bountiful, forsaken skies, for corporate waves of grain, for hallowed mountains' majesty above the ruined plain. America, America, God took her grace from thee and crowned thy good with suburbanhood from sea to toxic sea. And keep on clapping our next poet all the way from Miami, Florida, Da Youngsta.
I spit fire because I eat matches, and in my bloodstream runs gasoline, which makes me some kin to a dragon. See, never mind that I'm a spoken word artist, I'm a verbal arsonist, slaying these audiences with complete poetic consciousness, touching the hearts and souls of people with conscious minds, engraving my poetic lines in concrete. I'm sending subliminal messages through graffiti so the hollow hearts of society can follow me. I manicure my words into a defined format to attack the ignorant minds of the blind, so lace up your Air Force Ones and Tims and follow me. Follow me to a place where fathers barber to father their sons and daughters, and the rapid slaughter of our own people disperse, because each carefully rehearsed verse, I plan to reverse the never-ending curse Bush casted upon this nation, and hopefully, the wet feet of our Haitians can finally benefit from this, because with Bush in office, it's becoming too often how more young black soldiers are being placed in coffins, and all that chanting and marching cease with Martin, so when a change to come, I better start talking, so here I am marking my place in history. I'm spitting fire through poetry for people who are feeling me, because in this industry, I only have 3 minutes to touch the antique souls of the old folks, grasp the hidden love from my thugs, and reach the influential minds of the young. So each second is precious, and restless I never become, because sleep is death's cousin. So I spit an eternal blaze, which page I illustrate. This poem is up for debate, mainly to create a genre of events that are happening today. I'm not here to explain to y'all why Medgar Evers and Emmett Till had to die. Thou shalt not forget, but I'd much rather spit for my people living paycheck to paycheck. I'm the voice of those ignored projects. I speak on behalf of those famous 41 shots or recent killing. I'm not trying to embed past lynchings, but my innocent brothers behind bars with life sentences. This goes out to all of my hustlers and single mothers. And with this poem, I'm attempting to uncover history in the making. So I'm taking this poem as far as it's gonna take me. Because it seems to me the U.S. main interest is OPS, other people's shit. So that's why it's fire I spit and not fairy dust I sprinkle. Because I believe there's a wrinkle in the government system. Because I find it quite ironic how they find necessary to deal with foreign problems, but the crisis in their own backyard, they can't begin to solve them. And I thought voting was going to solve a portion of my problems, but that only added 4 more years to a long list of bullshit they have to deal with. So I spit fire, igniting these open mics like dynamite, and hopefully it explodes in the face of some of these closed-minded assholes we call government officials. See, I don't write these poems for slam scores. I write these poems to end wars, and there's a battle being fought on the very streets of our community every day, but we're too blind to see the true issues. Because you take a walk down MLK Boulevard and take a stroll down Ponce de Leon, there's obviously a vast difference in residence. But these smooth yet crooked-ass politicians posing as presidents only turn out to be imposters, when in fact, they really are white-collared pirates. Well, I'm a fire-spitting tyrant, hoping these words seep into this mic and through the fiber wires and out through the speakers. Because I'm reaching the day, I'd be damned if I don't die trying. There's no way in hell I can be silenced. This is what I call verbal violence, and history shows an educated nigga with a big mouth never lives long. But I'm about to prove that theory completely wrong with these poems one by one. I plan to undo what's already been done, redirecting U.S. focus from Iraq's oil to the very soul of our own home. Because when we're done trying to teach other countries about justice, tell me, who's going to take the time out to teach us America about justice?
That was the Youngsha from Miami, Florida. And please put your hands together from Ithaca, New York. Please welcome Jenny.
Dear lover, I saw the most beautiful scene last night, the appreciation of tears, the layering of monochromatic color, the bare feet, the sensuality of caring, the texture of time. I feel overwhelmed. My eyes have returned to the hostility of linoleum tectonic plates in my temporary reality. What contrast, what failure of beauty, violent functionality, aesthetic bestiality. My jawbones are heavy. Tears are welling up there in salty despair, osmotically displacing normalcy, waiting to rise for a gorged ovation of self-pity. Despite the malaise beauty often brings me, despite the fact that it can absorb me completely, it is like love, fantastic, consuming, voracious, and then it disappears, leaving me. And that is what I fear I cannot overcome. So I drown in the seas of salt that plummet over my human body, overtaken by the ancient baths of the earth's saline uterus, the tides whispering to me, grow, grow. But this time, just a passing glimpse, one drop, two, three drop, four, silent, slow, and arching like a wrist during sex. The refrigerator buzz and the kitchen clutter, the cold floor and the fluorescent lights chelate meaning for my tears. I am living the American shrinky-dink window charm. I convulse into my bulimic self-hatred of choiceless choice, aisles and aisles of variegated relativisms. And this is where I am. Brighter teeth, plusher quilt, fresher scent, better value, stealthier planes, smarter bombs, better world. Violent screams scrawl letters across my cheeks, speaking tongues of wisdom, seeking truth, trying urgently to help me see in the blurry thickness of water's refractive index. Wrong vision, wrong vision, wrong vision, they say. Feel us. We traveled long distances to arrive at your cheek. We are wise gauntlets of wine decanting on your tongue, the sweet softness of salt where it all has begun. These moments are precious, and I try desperately not to re-enter my own mind. I am trying to stay submerged in the moment and fight out the multiplicity of realities we all seem to garner around, like iron flakes to a feeble pencil-shaped magnet, cloaking an image and a disguising beard. Democracy has become nothing more than the herding of simpletons by aligning their thoughts. So I am left then with love, where axis and flesh spin in wildly chaotic discord. Align, say the forces, yet it is the bobble and hum, the wobbly trickster that renegades freedom and colludes in a beautiful creation. Come kiss me, come kiss me, come feel what I'm hearing. These tears that are falling are writing me love notes, condensation of self, ecstatic, unknowing, meaningless, ignorant, glowing. I want to give up my life. Not by war, not by murder, not by violent stupor, but by your arms squeezing this moment past, so I may enter another.
Okay, please welcome our next poet. Please welcome Crystalline.
I want to read you a sonnet. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more fragrant, which means you stink. Like a bathroom at a potluck for chronic overeaters when someone brought baked beans. Like the man on the corner who asks you for a cigarette when you've only got the one you're smoking. And for a second longer than necessary, you look him in the eye, wanting to tell him that you know that he's human, but he looks away. He has every right to. You stink. Like the poem that the boy with the glasses wrote to you in the third grade. He signed his intentions L-U-V. And even in the third grade, you were rotten enough to forget to tell him thank you. It's the only love poem anyone ever wrote you. And now you write poetry because you wish you could tell him that L-U-V isn't so bad as long as you mean it, and he meant it. But he's probably moved to Texas, and he probably still hates you. He has every right to. You stink. Like the aftermath of a bomb blast that killed 291 humans, 12 Americans, in Kenya in 1998. If you didn't hear about that on CNN, it's because most of the casualties were black. I'd like to think that prejudice exists only outside the range of my own heart, but I heard the news on the radio over toast and grapefruit and laughed. It's Africa. This stuff happens. I thought it was just a minor disturbance. Students wanting their schools back or civil servants seizing an opportunity to smash windows, equalize inequality. I laughed. When 5 miles away, people pulled bodies from the rubble and tried to fit broken doll arms back into sockets. Does that make me a bad person? That my ears were so numb I couldn't hear the ground cry from 5 miles away? Do I stink? Like the boy at the bus stop who asks me for change every day. When I tell him no, he compliments my sweater or the book that I'm reading. Must be a good book, he says. Yes, it is, so good that I forget to tell him thank you. And as I'm walking and reading, I bump into a girl whose lips match her pants, match her belt, match her shoes, match her shoelaces, till I spill my coffee down the front of her shirt. And really, I want to apologize, to look her in the eye a second longer than necessary and tell her that I'm human. Tell her to have a good day. But secretly, I'm not really sorry, because she wouldn't look me in the eye unless my dog's collar was the shade of my toenails. Does that make me a bad person? Do I stink? Maybe. At the moment, she does too, but that's no excuse. So I'll write her a sonnet. Dear girl with the purple dog collar and the stains on your shirt, shall I compare you to a refugee child, or the man on the corner with songs and no bus fare, or the kid with the glasses who wrote me a love poem, or workers who pulled bodies from wreckage so families could mourn with certainty? Girl, I want to ask you a question. Do you really know what you're doing? Because I don't. I'm the one who's laughing when the joke was ironic. I'm missing the ability to keep from cringing when I look in the mirror, but I'm human. And you are too. And we both stink. If you didn't hear about that on CNN, it's okay. Because they say no news is good news. And as for your shoes, I've got a shade of L-U-V that will match them perfectly. Thank you.
Crystalline, everybody, give a round of applause. They did mention this is sponsored by the Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice. Did they mention that? Yeah? Let's put a round of applause for them. Wonderful, wonderful organization. And please welcome our next poet. Please welcome Dan Carroll. Oh, not Dan Carroll. That was Dan Carroll. Okay, no, one of my favorite poets, because we're not in a slam, so I'm going to bias all of you. One of my favorite poets in the whole wide world, please welcome Jared Paul.
War is over, if we want it. John Lennon, really easy, not rocket science, you know? My mother came to this country at age 8, when her father moved the family to find work. She had to leave her home and forsake her native speech. She taught me my ABCs in this language while watching Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street. And although I am choosing not to have children of my own, the ones that I adopt will learn the same through symbols like these. A is for adoption, for every single boy and girl in need, even when it seems that legal guardian angels only come to free those that are healthy, white, clean, and younger than the age of 3. A is also for agriculture, which is better than cattle deforestation. It takes 12 million metric tons of grain to feed and raise 3 million metric tons of edible beef. Take that same fuel and give it to human bellies, you could feed 4 times the people and prevent the slashing and burning of nearly 100% the forest. E is for economics, energy, and evolution. Fail to see how these things relate, and our globe will choke on the gaggles of genomes we are greedy enough to make. Huge industrial juggernauts kill. There are 540 billionaires in existence. Total their wealth, and you've got more money than the combined asset of every other person across the globe. Billionaires, all colors, cultures, and skin tones, from the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and New American Rome, all blue-blooded, white-collared with apathy-colored eyes. Now go back and hold on to I. It's important, like conservation, contraceptives, recycling, and research. L is not for love of poetry or hip-hop, but for logic. If the population of this world doubles in size 70 times over the next 150 years, there will be no room to farm or breathe. May not be enough to scare some into changing their daily routine, but as for me, I am terrified. Now, observe, P is for petroleum, oil, plastics, and practically every product and package within consumer access. It's the same substance that starts wars, yet I've never seen the protest motto slogan calling, bring home the troops, no blood for bottled water. R is for responsible consumers, separate trash, unfailingly, all paper, plastic, and glass. V is for vegan, and that's where it's at. Which one of the following is a figment of our imagination? Is it A, Superman has X-ray vision, or is it B, diamonds are mined by black slaves in present-day Africa, where servants are subjected to several layers of X-ray radiation every single day just to make certain that no one is stealing, without very many slam poets writing very many letters to their legislators or editors, and hip-hop and R&B have become some of the biggest investors in a venture destined to keep Africa indentured, sequestered, and bleeding. You and I can make a difference by not purchasing slave diamonds to symbolize our love and the ring of its meaning. Now they say that at poetry slams and protests, we are preaching to the choir, that our real goal should be to get the ideas presented here to the outside, but we are not the choir. We are not the choir. I don't believe that we're working as hard as possible. I don't see us doing everything that we can, and evolution has to move faster than this. Z is not for Zion or Zachariah, but for Zenith. If you and I sacrifice our surplus so that everyone has what they need, then we can reach it.
Please welcome our next poet, Ruth Ember.
Sometimes I walk for peace, but the war goes on. Sometimes I go on, though my pain doesn't stop. This particular morning, I walked for the sake of walking, slowly on the ditch path, stopping often because my legs demand rest. Time to move on. Time to get on with it. With peace, that is. But where's the path? Time to turn around and get back to the beginning. But not before I rest once more. While the legs and the body struggle, words leap and dance and crowd my mind. Which ones to use on the momentous day when my head is shorn? When my cloud of white hair is no more. Still walking. I reject the idea of a statement of conscience. Such weightiness seems out of place in the lightness that has somehow become part of that morning. Still walking. Thoughts of poetry enter my mind. I try to make sense of the jumble and tumble of words in my head, and still walking, I concentrate on the concept of struggle. So many ways to struggle for peace and justice. That leads me, still walking, to wonder if any words can contain my determination to see this through, to end the domination of might over right. No poem yet, but now I am standing at my front door, suddenly aware I haven't made a single rest stop all the way home. And an understanding, an epiphany, pushes aside all doubt. My morning walk thus became a metaphor for the path I must take in the cause of peace. Yes, there is pain and suffering and sorrow all around us. And yes, progress is often too painfully slow. And yes, we make mistakes. But the only path for me is to focus on every step, however small, to make a better world everywhere for everybody. May we all continue to walk, to struggle, to hope. Shalom.
That was Ruth Ember, everybody. The Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice has a newsletter, which is up here. We have a couple copies for people. And they have a website, actually, so I don't remember what it is, but they have one. And we're going to finish off this reading with one of my absolute favorite local poets in the whole big city of Albuquerque. We're down in her hometown, or we're down in your neck of the woods. Please welcome Maria Leyva.
Thank you. This is my Barrio Varelas. I'm a preschool teacher, and I work in a preschool with my assistant, who is a survivor of a horrible war in El Salvador. And this is written for her and the conversations we have when we put our two-year-olds to nap. And it's called Glowing Dead Bodies. Dead bodies glow at night. Her somber reflection whispers as we huddle around a bare blue bulb. It's nap time at our preschool. Our babies all asleep peacefully. Fear bursting from some place deep within her. Black moths gather in her eyes of an indigo night ablaze with genocide. She cries silently. Her mouth forms disjointed stories of evil men dropping bombs, destroying all hopes and dreams for poor mountain peasants in El Salvador's red zone. All I hear are babies screaming in a cloud of talcum powder. I stare into her unfocused, war-induced pupils. I cringe, not wanting to see murderous visions of someone so young, a pregnant twig of a girl running past killing fields of American-trained military, torturing, raping, killing innocent children, women, and men. Drenched in fear, she ran past the death squads, past dead glowing bodies, carrying her terrified young daughters on each hip. All I want is to feed her starving, screaming little girls, keep them from being nourished in the mother's terrified, beating heart. Salvador means salvation, but there was no salvation for her people in El Salvador's civil war. Her shattered, dreamy mind can't stop those painful words erupting from a nightmare that haunts every corner of her universe. We both exhale loudly. This fragile, tiny woman was meant to survive. For 2 months she walked at night, guided by a hopeful moon and bursting stars, spelling freedom across the border. She dragged herself into the refugee camp in Honduras, her battered, numb body nursed to health by women in the camps. She gave birth to her youngest daughter for 9 years. This camp of mostly young mothers, all widows, called at home. Suddenly, her anger explodes from every pore of her shaking body, desperate for answers. Why, that stupid war funded by America took away all her dreams, her youth, her beloved young husband, the home he built for her with his own teenage hands, her land burnt to the ground. Bombs killed every living source, contaminating everything in sight. All her loved ones murdered savagely. The thousands of little children murdered while holding Mama's hand, or worse, while still in her womb. Now, in a deep slumber, never needing clean diapers, smelling of talcum powder, warm milk to drink to ease the hunger, never again making any sound, just left glowing in the dark for eternity. Thank you.